So I'm just gonna roll the intro and so what are we gonna talk about? Heaven and Earth?
Sure, whatever you want.
All right, this is the episode 6 of the Mixtape of Memories, and we've got with us Dave Brito, the guy who released his song very recently, and his collaborative or his work goes out by the name Arrows. And I want to welcome Dave, and I want to ask, why did you put the name Arrows for your collaborative?
Hey man, thanks for having me. Yeah, why I chose Arrows, because I wanted it to be called actually Aurora. It's a Foo Fighters song, but then I realized that there was this Norwegian artist called Aurora. So, and I wanted it to be in A, because A is the first alphabet, first letter of the alphabet, so it's right up there when people are searching for things. And so there's another Foo Fighters song called Arrows from their album called Concrete and Gold. So hence, I picked that, because I love the Foo Fighters also.
You love the Foo Fighters. Who from Foo Fighters? Dave Grohl? Who's it?
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, Dave Grohl, the whole band, actually, in fact. From the first record right till the one that came out this year, Medicine at Midnight, like, just fanatic.
All right. So you're a rock fanatic or you're a music fanatic?
Started off as a rock fanatic, but through my job, I've been able to open my ears to other sounds and appreciate them. So yeah, I listen to all kinds of music, electronic, rock, punk, R&B, soul, jazz, blues, you name it.
All right, cool. So your ears are tuned to everything, right? So so just want to understand, like, your job, like, you write and you take interviews, right? So you're at a show where we're talking about your music, but I just want to know, like, how is it, like, you know, talking to people who are, like, you know, at the who have kind of brought rock into India or brought or taken music in India at a different level, you know, and have been continuing. You've done interviews or you've spoken to many people at these level, and your recent collaboration with Siddharth is also, you know, something similar. It's like a musical stalwart, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, man, it's definitely been a privilege and honor to talk to some of these people, like Uday Benegal, who's like forefront of Indian rock with Indiscreet and Rock Machine, and of course Louis Banks, who's one of India's best jazz artists, of course. And yeah, even Siddharth, man, being like the awesome musician that he is, it's a privilege and honor to be able to talk to all these people and know their stories and how they got to where they are, and also how their music has helped younger artists get to achieve their goals and dreams as well.
For the song Buried to Dust, how did you get in touch with Siddharth? Like, how was the collaboration? Like, and did you choose, like, okay, Siddharth is gonna sing this song, or how did it happen?
Yeah, man, it's funny. So, Buried to Dust originally started off as like an incomplete song I had in 2011 or 12, and then a friend of mine a few years ago showed me a poem he'd written called Buried to Dust. And so I took that half-written song I had and his poem, and I put it together to finish the entire song. And I took it to my friend Ayan Day, who's a producer, and he said, like, man, Siddharth would be great on this song. And this was like a few years ago, and at that time, like, the song was still on the shelf and I hadn't thought of doing anything with it. And through the years, I mean, I've interviewed Siddharth a couple of times, and we've sort of became friends through that, and would see each other at gigs and just say hi and talk a bit. And I think in December he put out a post on social media saying that he's up for producing indie artists and people get in touch with me. So as soon as I saw that, like, I texted him and sent him the demo, and we started working from there. And yeah, man, through the process, like, he brought a lot of his gear over to my place also, and we recorded the entire song here. He produced it as well as singing on it. And through that process, yeah, we became really good friends. Like, he would stay some nights over for dinner, we'd go out for coffee, like, if the sessions were too long, and this grew a friendship more than just collaborators.
That's great to know, man. So music brought two people together. Just wanted to understand, Buried to Dust, this is what I understood, right? I don't know if I should say it. Like, it's like somebody sitting at a funeral pyre and he's talking about somebody going away. Is that the song? What's the song about? Is it a relationship breaking down, crumbling down inside a person? What is it like? What's the meaning of the song?
The song is basically holding on to a legacy of someone that is no more. So it could be a friend, it could be a person that you idolize, who you've never even met, but trying to immortalize their legacy and trying to keep it intact so that future generations and people down the line know about what they've accomplished and what they did.
Mm-hmm. So I'm nowhere close to understanding the song, but I love the music.
No, but I mean it's fine. Like it's up for interpretation. Like if you feel that way, so be it. Like once the song is out, I mean it's not the artist's anymore. I feel it's for people who listen to it and kind of make their own stories. And if it comforts them, then yeah, well and good.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So it's like the media, make your own stories. But what I was asking, you said it's about a person and the legacy. So is it you're writing about somebody very specific when you are writing it?
So the chorus is written by my friend Denver Cardos, whose poem I mentioned earlier. I mean, I've never actually spoken to him about the specifics of what he wrote, but just the general observation of what it is, I mean, it could be anyone. Like, I don't think I had anyone in mind in particular as well, but it could be someone close to you and a person who you care about also as well. So yeah, I think that's... there's no specifics as such, but just trying to keep it as close to home as possible.
Alright, cool, man. So, so since we are talking about a lot of memories, it's all a mixtape of memories. So you worked, you were a part of the trip, which was an amazing plan. And how has your journey been? When did you start getting into music, and how it all? What's the journey, man?
Oh yeah, I mean, I started taking like guitar classes when I was in the third or fourth standard in school, and started from there basically. And then I just fell in love with rock and the grunge scene and stuff, and dipped my toes in that a lot. And then in college, got into a couple of college bands before the trip formed in 2012, I think it was. And yeah, I mean, so I was in another band before that, and then I knew Joel from school, but he had gone to boarding school, so we like kind of lost touch, but he returned back to Bombay when he applied for college here. And I ran into him once on the street. He was playing guitar on the pavement, just sitting down and playing, and I didn't know at the time that he could sing. I knew he played drums, yeah, but I didn't know he sang as well. So we'd been in a band before that where he played drums and I was playing bass as well. And then, we just started talking and we said we should start something together. And that's how the trip formed in 2012. Basically started off as like an acoustic three-piece setup. And then it morphed into this six-piece kind of heavy rock, alt-rock vibe. And it was a fun 4.5-5 years we had playing gigs around the country and festivals as well. And we even put out a couple of singles and an EP. So it was a good run we had. And we're all still good friends. The WhatsApp chat is still online, and although like we can't play anymore together since members are scattered around. So it was fun. That was the journey with the trip, and great learning experiences that I think I'll cherish for a long time.
Great, man. So I asked Joel also last time, would you guys come back together? So what do you think?
I mean, yeah, if everyone's in the same place at the same time and if an opportunity arises, then yeah, why not? We kind of actually did that once, I think, in 2019, just before the pandemic, I think this was. Or it might have been early 2020, I think, where we hadn't played together for a long time, and we played a gig, I think, at Carter Road Social in Bandra. And that was fun to play again together. But yeah, if it happens again, then yeah, I'm definitely up for it.
All right, cool, man. So you said you don't sing, like you haven't tried singing, or is that you said that okay, I've tried and I don't want to do it anymore?
No, I've tried. I'm pathetic at it. I know it, and I'll be the first one to raise my hand up and say that I'm a terrible, terrible singer. And I never sang ever. Like even in the trip, we had Joel who sang vocals, and Ralkis and Ronaldo would do the backing vocals. But I have a terrible voice, but I love writing songs and I love creating melodies, and if I can't do it. I'm lucky that I'm able to collaborate with amazing vocalists. Like my first Arrow single, Spaces, featured Vernon Arona. He sang on it. And yeah, and even at gigs also, I've had different collaborators come up. Like the girls from Symmetry sang at one gig. Nathaniel Mukhtiar, a bunch of very cool vocalists. So it's been fun collaborating with different vocalists and also seeing how they bring their own style to the songs and sometimes kind of tweak the melodies a bit. Like I think Sachi, at one of our So Far gigs, she tweaked the melodies for one of the songs and made it. I think it sounded better when she did it. So it's always great to have collaborators like that.
Great, man. Like you gotta make a lot of friends. Like just collaborating, you gotta make a lot of friends. You'd be the musician who everybody knows. So what is your ultimate aim? Like, you know, you gotta keep on making music. Do you have a vision about your music?
I kind of take it day by day. Actually, I don't look too far ahead. I try to like live in the now and see what's happening like right now and try and control what I can control, because you can't control the future. So basically, I definitely want to keep writing about artists and in terms of what I do for a living, but on the side try and write as much of music as I can as well. And since I, like I said, I don't sing and I don't produce, so I'm always looking for creative people and like-minded people to work with. So I think to answer your question, that's the vision, to find more people who I think are on the same wavelength as me to collaborate with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you see that your writing is gonna be like a mainstay, is writing in the sense writing for a journal or an electronic medium, that's gonna be there always? Or like, why can't you jump into music full time, like just make music? Like, I just want to know.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, first of all, I feel like there are only a handful of music journalists in our country, and of that handful, only a few who are like passionately driven to do it, because I've seen a lot of people dive in and out of it. And like, I don't feel like I want to do that, because I studied journalism, and music journalism was always something I wanted to do and to give back to the indie scene, because I feel I got into it very early as an artist, and it gave me a lot of opportunities. So I feel like I have that experience and kind of know what it is to be on the other side of the shoe. Because being a young artist, you don't get a lot of opportunity sometimes, and you send a lot of emails and no one replies. I mean, we'd been through that as a trip. So I feel like if people are writing into me and they're new artists and putting out their debut singles, and if the song's good, that there's something I can do to help them, definitely want to keep doing it. So yeah, I definitely see myself to still be writing and be a music journalist, because I think that's something that I'm very passionate about and want to continue doing.
Great, man. Great. So you're pretty clear on that. So you're full time with Rolling Stones. Ki aisa like only you're just writing articles and giving it to them, and it's they're paying you.
No, I'm full time with Rolling Stone. I've been full time since 2016, but since the pandemic, I've been freelancing with a couple of other publications as well.
Okay. Cool, man. So. It is fun knowing this this part of you, like the dream that you have, right? But how did you get drawn to music and drawn to, you know, playing the guitar?
I mean, I was actually just sent for guitar classes, and I had a very very cool guy who used to teach me guitar, and he was a fun dude. Like, he would make the classes a lot of fun and kind of make you feel more interested in what was happening. But soon after that, I think I stopped playing for a while, because he had gone somewhere and whatever, the classes stopped, and I also stopped and didn't practice much at home. And then when I started listening like to bands, and like your grunge bands and your heavy metal bands and whatnot, I kind of got back into it and wanted to learn again. So then I went to another guy to learn, and like he was pretty cool as well, a much senior person, and kind of learned with him. And then from there, like, I stopped the classes, and then YouTube was of course freely available. This was late 2000s, and through YouTube I started picking up stuff, and then from guitar I moved to bass, and And yeah, that's basically how I got my foot in it. And yeah, I just started liking it a lot, and it used to kind of make you feel like you belonged in that situation when music was on. So yeah, that's basically how I got into it.
Alright. So so which are the bands that influence you, like, or in terms of, are there guitarists that influence you, specific, who you are drawn to, or who styles you like, who you are learning from constantly?
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I think mostly I'm drawn to songwriters more than just instrumentalists. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm a big Foo Fighters fan, so of course Dave Grohl is right up there. Noel Gallagher also, I think, I feel like he's one of the better songwriters of the last 30 years. Of course, the Beatles can't go wrong there. yeah, bunch of artists, I mean, yeah. From the singer-songwriter space, I mean, there's Jack Johnson and John Mayer, of course. And yeah, so yeah, just drawn to songwriters more than just instrumentalists, because I feel that's where, that's kind of what I try to do, like, as a songwriter and composer, is try and write these songs people like, I hope. Yeah,
your songs sound pretty good. Like, as you rightly said, like, as every musician says, when I write a song, you know, I'm not writing, like, when it goes out, it becomes a meaning for the person who's listening to it, right? The person makes the meaning out of it, like, that's how it works. Coming back, in the indie scene, who is some of the songwriters that you've interviewed, a lot of people, some of the songwriters, singer-songwriters who you should be looking up for, like, so that folks who are listening to this podcast can say, hey, come on, we got to search for this artist, we've got to support them.
Yeah, and in the indie scene, singer-songwriters to definitely listen to Vernon Arona, Tejas Menon, Raghav Miyatl, Aditi Ramesh, a bunch of very talented people. I mean, there are, who else is there? Yeah, the Sachi I mentioned earlier, she's a great songwriter as well. A new songwriter that's popped up on the scene over the last year, Anushka Maski, she's fantastic as well. So yeah, these names, definitely search them and listen to their music. They're fabulous, fabulous singer-songwriters.
I think all these people who I mentioned are pretty, pretty popular. And like, if I'm listening to indie, like, they're pretty popular in the indie scene. Like, you know, all of them know that, like, we are waiting for the new song from them to come out, to listen to them. Like, is there anybody who you see, like, very recently upcoming, like, you would say, like, hey, this guy's got the spark, aisa koi hai kya?
There's this girl, Prisha, who just released a couple of tracks. She's very good. Karshni Nair, of course, is fabulous as well. Yeah, these are young artists that are really upping their game and doing stuff pretty cool. So yeah, definitely search up these two artists for sure that come to mind, who are, I feel, are on the cusp of something cool.
Okay, one question that I have asked many people, like, do you like putting out singles, or will you be putting out an album, like, one shot?
Yeah, at the moment I'm only focusing on putting out singles, because the thing is that each collaborator is very different. And to kind of have that cohesiveness of a body of work in an album or EP, to find that structure and flow, I feel it would take me a little time to address. So for right now, I think the focus is mainly only on singles.
Okay. So yeah, again, one more question that I've asked, because most of the people that I interview are like singer-songwriters. Is there events from your life that you experience mostly in the song, or in the songs that you write, you know, or how does it work, or is it like any given Sunday you wake up and you're like, all right, this is how I feel and I'm gonna write? Like, is it about today, or is it about many things from the past that you pick up, or how does it work when you write a song?
Yeah, definitely I write about experiences. I think that's the best way a songwriter can convey their message. Like my debut single, Spaces, I think if you listen to it, it's quite self-explanatory. I'm not going to go into it, but yeah, if you listen to it, you'll understand what it's about. Just in a nutshell, it's basically about a relationship that didn't work. But yeah, so it was a pretty hard time, and that song kind of helped comfort the situation. And so yeah, like to answer your question, I write about experiences, and there's a couple of songs in the works currently that I'm planning on putting out. One is like in the mixing and master stage, which I'm very excited about. That song too is about an experience, and so I'm planning on releasing two more songs this year. So looking forward to putting those out.
Okay, cool, man. So is there anything that you want to know from me?
Yeah, tell me about how you got into podcasting, man.
Oh, all right. Okay. So I got into podcasting during the lockdown. Okay. But I got into podcasting doing, there are three, four things that I love a lot, like coffee. I love, HR because I have an HR, and I love music. A lot of things. When I grew up, my father used to make music. And my father used to make me listen to music every time. You used to sleep and listen to music. So you would listen to folks like Richard Kidd, Play the Men, or you would listen to Eve, you would listen to Boney. Imagine listening to a disco song and sleeping, okay? So having always musically inclined. So my memories, like you said, are inclined or are attached to this music. Now, as I grew up, And now I'm 35. So at 35, when I look back, okay, this music brings me back to this time, right? So that's how I've seen that there are many other musicians and artists who need a space. They are very, very, very good at, conveying a certain message. And then music is also good along with the writing part. So I said, can I provide a platform? I started by talking about HR, which I deeply love it. I'm completely into it, right? And in terms of music, I only have this much. I have listened to a lot of music. And now that I see in the digital space, there are a lot of musicians coming up. I noticed it during the lockdown. And I said, okay, I want to give them a platform, that's how this whole thing started. So yeah, so that's how it is.
That's pretty cool. Do you also play any instrument or anything?
I play the guitar. Yes, I do. So is there anything that you want to say?
Yeah, I just want to say that I have two more songs coming out this year, so keep your eyes and ears peeled, and some pretty cool collaborators on those songs as well. And so I think the next one I want to drop in either June or July, followed by the third one in maybe November.
Okay. So why did you schedule it? I don't know, like, you know, you also said Aurora and it comes up first, you know. So everybody I speak to, they're like, okay, this thing matters a lot, like your digital presence, your, you know, the way the searches work, you know, I want to be promoted digitally.
For me, I mean, I don't think numbers are definitely not important. I try telling people that a lot, like, don't bother about numbers and how many followers you have and whatever. That's not important. Just focus on the craft and the art you're making, and let that speak for itself, and then your numbers will automatically develop through that.
Yeah, we are at 268 since 1 year. The numbers are not developing.
Just keep working hard, man. It'll happen.
Yeah, it'll happen, Dave. And it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for giving us your time, Dave. And hopefully, if we survive, we'll meet again.
For sure, man. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Take care, dude. Bye.
Sitting by the fire, listening to words of gold, knowing that they won't be said no more. Purgatory to all these elements from me. How's it gonna be when you're not home? Everything crumbled over me, and why did we not see? There is
She takes a step closer to death. While everybody's watching, nobody helps. Everything crumbled over me. And why did we not see? Bury the dust within the sea. Bury the dust when we bleed. Bury the dust, can't you see?
Torn to pieces, torn to pieces. We were torn to pieces.